Studio 360.
No job title is big enough to handle Taylor Mack. I first became aware of him as a kind of drag vaudevillian. Since then, he was named a MacArthur Genius and got a Pulitzer Prize nomination for his theatrical masterwork, A 24-Decade History of Popular Music, which was a 24-hour American spectacular that combined song and dance and drag. Taylor Mack's latest work is a play, and for the first time, that wild, singular sensibility is on Broadway. It stars Nathan Lane, Christine Nielsen, and Julie White. It's called Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus. And as the title suggests, it takes place right after the events of Shakespeare's grisliest tragedy.
Hello, Janice. My name is Gary.
It opens with a giant pile of corpses and ends with a dance number featuring choreographed prosthetic penises. In between, it blends debates about art and politics and the nature of existence with fart jokes and projectile vomiting. It is only 90 minutes long, and somehow it all works.
You make a cut in the main artery. I prefer the armpit to the groin, as it seems less invasive.
Just seems if this is the kind of thing you gotta do on the regular, you might not be living your best life.
So, first off, I just explained a little bit about Gary, but give a little more sense of what it's about and what happens during this remarkable hour and a half.
Wow. It's really just about a clown that gets a promotion to the role of maid and wants to even get a bigger promotion to the role of a fool. He says a fool is a clown with ambition, you know. And he just really wants to make a difference in the world. He's had this near-death experience when the coup happens, and
in Titus
Andronicus, he's a minor character that has about 13 lines,
the most as minor as you can get, practically.
Yeah, but in Shakespeare's play, he comes on, he's some comic relief, and then they kind of use him to be
send a
messenger,
message.
And then he gets sent off to be hanged.
Right. And in fact, such a minor character, we searched for let's get a clip of the real guy. And the only one we could find was from a 1985 BBC adaptation of Titus Andronicus. And this is
yes.
Tim Potter playing the clown.
I haven't seen this.
God bless it, Steve, and give you Godeen. I have brought you a letter and a couple of pigeons here.
Go! Take him away and hang him presently.
How much money must I have?
Come, sither. You must be hanged.
Hanged? By Our Lady. Then I have brought up a neck to a fairer.
This is so funny to me.
I mean, they're playing it for laughs.
It's Elizabethan, right? So, of course, he's got this Cockney accent or this weird kind of Scottish hybrid Cockney. And it's like an Elizabethan interpretation of the Roman Empire. And what I find very delightful about my play, the style that it's written in and that we use Cockney accents to, is that it's like an American burlesque of Elizabethan interpretation of the Roman Empire, which feels
right.
Like sequel,
right.
You know.
And American burlesque may be derived from English music hall traditions,
sure.
Stick that in there.
So, you know, he's a casualty of these people in power who are just playing with the pawns. And so I decided to write a play about him. I just fell in love with the idea of a clown trying to make a difference in the world.
What got you to, Titus Andronicus, this character, a whole play about him? I mean, that doesn't seem like did that come fully formed as a notion?
No, I was thinking about the cycles of revenge.
In the world, in real life?
In real life. And I went to one of the more popular revenge tragedies in the canon and read it and then fell in love with this clown and decided that I would try to write a revenge tragedy on Titus Andronicus. You know, the other thing is that Steve Bannon was, at one point in his life, was kind of obsessed with Titus Andronicus.
The Steve Bannon of recent White House fame.
Yes, exactly.
Produced one.
He was a producer on the Julie Taymor Titus.
Which was a film in 1999, yeah.
Yeah.
Test two! Witness my life sharp fight!
And the fact that he turned the Donald Trump campaign and the presidency into a bit of a revenge tragedy against Obama and, you know,
and
so
the elite.
And the elite, oh, those coastal elites.
Of which he is a member.
Of course. So it's, you know, there's a lot in here as a way to talk about our current time.
Yeah.
You know.
So this grisly, ghastly comedy, that doesn't seem like you necessarily go to the Broadway money people and they go, yes, let's put this on Broadway. How did you convince them to do that?
I didn't. I sat down with Scott Rudin. We had a meeting about something else.
Who produces all smart shows on Broadway, essentially.
I got to hand it to him. I gave him the play and 2 days later he called. He said, I want to take it Broadway. So it was really his idea, although I can't say that I didn't have it in the back of my brain. I write all my work for Broadway, if I'm honest.
Really?
I mean, I do, yeah. Everything I've ever written, all my plays, all 17 works, I always imagined that they'd be on Broadway.
And, well, now the world has caught up with you, and here you are. I mean, that must feel pretty great that your quixotic, impossible dream has been realized?
Yeah, I guess so. I just think it's queer. I think Broadway's the queerest thing ever. You know, it's the size of it allows for queer expression. The size of it allows for something that isn't being controlled by the Puritan dominance over expression.
That's interesting.
Minorities in America, in order to survive, have to express themselves louder. In order to be seen, we have to be a little bit louder, a little bit bigger. And so we know how to fill the big space, but we're always relegated to the basement bar or the little theaters.
But not anymore. Gary and one of the two other characters, Janice, have the job of preparing all these dozens, scores, hundreds of bodies, I guess, for burial. You, I noticed, used to work as a house cleaner before you were Taylor Mack.
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah.
did any of that experience cleaning up inform, like, your sense of what these people would feel like just doing their jobs?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's in the play as well. Is all those years I had survival jobs, and you got to do the dirty work for other people who have just more money than you, you know. I mean, I don't want to disparage cleaners. I think they're the
great
people in the world. But or rich. Well, no, I don't mind. I mean, I'm rich now. I got my MacArthur. But in that sense, you got the cleaner who's Janice. That's also part of me. And then you have the person who's the bit more of a clown wanting to be a fool revolutionary, which is also part of me.
So sequel companion plays to famous plays has become kind of a modern mini genre. There's recently the Lucas Neith Doll's House Part 2. There was, of course, the brilliant 52 years ago, I think, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. Tom Stoppard. Once you decided to do this, did you think, oh, I'm doing a kind of a Rosencrantz thing?
You know, I never even once thought about that.
Really?
And I know it sounds ridiculous that I wouldn't have thought about it. But I think I had, you know, he was talking about nobles that were small characters. You know, I wanted to talk about the people who are unseen, not the people who are existentially part of the status quo.
Right. You know? So the election of Donald Trump. And as I understand it, your mother, her death, were part of the inception for this?
Yeah, well, I finished the 24-hour concert that I performed in 2016, and then my mom was dying at the time, so I had to fly to California and do hospice work for her. She was a Christian Scientist, so that—
The central premise of whose faith is that medical intervention is really not called for.
Yeah, that we're spiritual beings, not material beings. And so the idea is that, you know, we have faith in God will heal us and stuff. So her cancer didn't exist to her and we weren't allowed to acknowledge it. And then I was, you know, watching the news and the election and it just seemed like we're not acknowledging the reality of our world right now and what's happening. And I had just experienced the 24-hour show, which was this manifestation of a beautiful collaboration. And the combination of those three things, and then I went to Mexico and a corpse washed up under the beach when I was jogging, a tourist had died and in the surf, and it was the second corpse I'd, you know, had to kind of encounter in a few weeks. And so I just, all of that kind of just fit into what I was thinking about revenge tragedy and what I wanted to do with it. And so I put it all into a play.
And a fun Broadway production.
Well, yeah, why not?
Taylor Mack, a pleasure, as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Taylor Mack's play, Gary, A Sequel to Titus Andronicus, starring Nathan Lane and Christine Nielsen and Julie White, is on Broadway right now.